to flex your muscles, to strengthen yourself, to come accustomed to have the experiences of obedience, the Lord has to speak to you. Amen. You need opportunity to obey. Amen. Is that right? Hallelujah. It's easy to say, I'm obedient, if you never get a command. But when you get a command, then you obey. And every time he speaks, then you get opportunity to get better and better and better at obedience. And when we obey God, when we obey the word of the Lord, then we get what God means for us to get. And we be who God means for us to be. And we do what God intends for us to do, right? We go where he tells us, hallelujah. And we live like he wants us to live because we are obedient to the command of the Lord. Hallelujah. We need more opportunities. We need more of an intentionality to hear from God, for him to speak to us so that we can grow in obedience. Anybody want to grow in obedience to God? Come on. Anybody want to get better at it? Anybody want to get better at knowing the voice of God and responding to it, him immediately? Responding to his voice immediately and not struggling and not running it through our minds and our heads and not getting stuck on what we think it should be, but because we know his voice, hallelujah, but because we know his voice, we respond. We respond because we know him. Why? Because we have the experience of hearing his voice and doing it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Hallelujah. Because we know that he, you know, we really, as humans, haven't really come to the fact that we can do nothing on our own. Yeah, the only reason we get angry with God because we feel like he didn't do it the way we thought he should have done it. And now we're kind of mad with God because it didn't come out. But you know, he's God Almighty. He's God all-knowing. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. You know, he created all things, as she said, and all things come from him and all things go back to him. And so when he shows up and acts and do, he knows from eternity. He's speaking from eternity. And he's giving you the right answer. Hallelujah. He's giving you the correct way. Yeah, he's giving you the appropriate approach. Wow, come on. He's doing it right. But we're not accustomed to responding quickly. Hallelujah. We're not accustomed to responding quickly. And the only way to get accustomed to that, he's got to speak to you. So we go day to day and week to week and month to month and year to year and haven't got a direct command from God. But we say, I'm obedient. Wow. Because he's going to give you opportunity to be obedient. You don't know your child is obedient until you give them instruction. You don't know people who are supposed to be submitted to you is going to do what you tell them to do until you give them. Come on. You can say all you want to, how obedient your child is, but if you ain't never telling them nothing to do, you have no idea. And God says, I want to speak and give you instruction. Wow. And it's going to wow you. It's going to get you out of that place. It's going to cause you to do some things you've never done before. Cause you to go some places that you've never been before. Cause you to serve in ways you never served before. Cause you to give of yourself in ways that you've never given before. Say, speak, Lord. I'm building your faith. I'm building your faith. I'm building your faith because we get a little nervous. We get afraid when we say, speak, Lord, because you know he's about to tell us something that we really, really don't want to do. But if you say, speak, Lord, hallelujah, with faith behind it and saying, because I'm getting ready to be better. Say, I'm about to be better. What the kids say, I'm about to blow up. Is that what the kids say? I'm about to blow up. Well, if he began to speak to you and give you some real direction and some instruction, wow. It's going to wow you. It's going to wow you. Anybody want to be wowed? It's going to wow you. Anybody want to be wowed? Ooh, wow me, wow me, wow me. Hallelujah. And he wants to do that. I'm going quickly. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Thank you again for having me. Thank you, Pastor John, for trusting me. Thank you, heirs, for listening to me. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading me. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God, for just landing in this place this morning to make it easy to minister the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh ye saints of God. If it was not for the Lord who was on my side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be continuously in my mouth. Amen. My. This poor man, this poor girl, this poor person cried, and the Lord heard. Woo, and delivered her out of all of her fears. And then another one said, oh, taste and that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. They that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion. Hallelujah. That will exist forever. That's what I'm breaking it down now. That will exist forever. Mount Zion will always be Mount Zion. I don't care how much they bomb over there in Jerusalem. We got a heavenly Zion. See, we pass from the old covenant into the renewed covenant, and we've seen God lift us to. Anybody been to Zion before? I never been to Israel, but I've been to Zion. Ah, come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. I don't know if anybody in here ever been to Zion. Because Mount Zion is going to abide forever. That holy place of God. Yeah, that presence of the living God. That place where we meet him. Whew. Introduction. We're going to the book of Luke. The 7th chapter. Seven. 1-10. And I will read quickly. Now when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready. A certain centurion's servant was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. The elders, the Jewish elders, were asked by the centurion, who was a Roman soldier, to go and ask Jesus, would he come and heal his servant? And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this thing was deserving. Remember, he was a Roman soldier, and he asked the Jewish elders to ask Jesus to heal his servant, and the elders said he deserved it. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Imagine that. A Roman soldier, hallelujah, loved the Jewish people and has built a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. Say the word. Say the word. Hallelujah. I'm seeking opportunity for obedience, Lord. Say the word. I'm looking for instruction. I got some things up there. I got some things that I got out laying out. I've laid out some stuff, but I need instruction so I can obey it. So what? Say the word. Wow. And my servant will be healed, for I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. My. Jesus marveled at the Roman soldier. At the Roman soldier. Don't get it twisted. A Roman soldier is a Roman soldier. You don't have to go look it up. It was a Roman Empire, and they were warriors, and they were mean, and they were evil, and they were not good to the Jewish people. But apparently, this one was different. And Jesus was marveled. He turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now the elders brought the message from the Roman soldier, but Jesus spoke out loud, I haven't seen the kind of faith in you. Say, oh my, that I've seen in this soldier. Not in Israel. And even those who were sent returning to the house found that the servant was well who had been sick. This is found in Matthew also. But Luke, being a Gentile writer, perhaps did more searching of the Gentiles responding to Jesus in his his stories, his narratives, his pericopes. You heard people using that term a whole lot, the pericope. Well, the pericope is a narrative. It's the story. And it's a little, it's intended in the New Testament to give you full scope of how Jesus operates. So in every story that is in there, you can see the full measure of what Christ came to do and did, and the kind of people he worked with to get it done. So Luke writes that this was a centurion. Now, this is not the first time we hear of the centurion, because there was one found at the cross, and he was the one that said, "Surely, this is the Son of God." Okay, this is a Roman soldier opening the way. Whosoever will, let him come. Hallelujah. It was a centurion named Cornelius, who was the first Gentile to convert to the Christian church and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that Peter wrote, seeing that the Gentiles are receiving the Holy Spirit as we are, it changes the trajectory of what God is saying for believers in Christ. They don't have to suffer through the Jewish traditions of sacrifices and circumcision and all those things that include, because I have experienced, I saw it with my own eyes, that this Roman soldier, centurion named Cornelius, received the Holy Ghost. Say, so where are you going? Thank you. I'm glad you asked. God doesn't have a specific group intended in this gospel way. Hallelujah. And he continued to write it in scripture. So if you have the faith to say, "Speak to me," he's going to meet you right where you are. You heard me say it all the time. He really, really wants to bless us. He wants to bless our socks off. He wants to overwhelm us with blessing. He wants to wow us all the time, right? He wants to do for us more than we allow him to do for us, more than we ask him to do for us. Hallelujah. He wants us to show up in faith and say, "Give me some instructions." Wow. And the best time you have when people come to you and they say they're going to help you, and they say, "Just tell me what to do." You got somebody on your side then, right? How you got somebody working for you. You got somebody that's going to be faithful, going to be consistent. You get that person who come and just kind of sit in the chair and kind of help that you don't see them, and kind of just really, really, "Yeah, I said I was going to come, but I'm really not here to do a whole lot of work. So, you know, I'm going to let you give assignments to everybody else." You don't have too much need for that person. But that one said, "Give me instructions and tell me what to do." Yeah. Hallelujah. They're getting ready to work for you. Hallelujah. And I propose that in this narrative, in this story of Jesus and how he operates and what he does, I think he's waiting for us to come and say, "Speak, Lord. Give me some instruction. Tell me what to do." Hallelujah. Make your request known to the Lord. You don't have to worry about, "Well, I'm going to be the will of God." He ain't going to answer no request that ain't in his will. He's working with you through the Holy Spirit for you to ask for him to do what his will is for your life. Hallelujah. He's waiting for you to subject yourself to his plan for your life, and not just subject yourself, ask for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said Jesus was amazed. A military man, a modern military man, a centurion. A centurion doesn't have rank. They're paid by their prestige. They are the one of the highest grade, or when I say grade, I mean ranking in the Roman military. And they operate, they command hundreds at a time. That's why they're called centurion. They operate over hundreds at a time. They were the best of the best. And one thing about them, they were level-headed. It took 16 years to be a centurion. You just didn't become that overnight. It took a while to get to that position. And history says they rarely got overstimulated by anything that was happening in the war, but they were the second level thinkers. They didn't react, they responded. You know what I mean? They took that time to think that through. So what am I saying? This centurion knew something about Jesus. There was a relationship in him where if he never met him, he must have heard about him. He trusted the elders in Israel enough to ask for him, to say, would you go ask Jesus to heal my servant? The thing of it is, he had a relationship with that servant. He had a concern for that servant, because if that servant didn't get well, he was going to, in Roman law, he was going to have to dispose of him. If he didn't die quick enough, he was going to have to help him die, because that servant was no good to him. But he had a concern. He had a relationship. Come on, y'all. We got concerns for our family members, for people we work with, our neighbors. We got concerns for the world around us. But do we ever have enough faith to just take them to Jesus?
Come on. That's good.
I'm so worried about, well, maybe they're not going to respond. Jesus was amazed that centurion could get the servant healed, and the servant probably didn't know anything about the request. Y'all need to say hallelujah. Y'all need to say thank you, Jesus. Come on. We're too relaxed. We're too okay about what's going on in our lives. Yeah. Well, do we know who we are? We know who we are in relationship with? We have the kind of relationship that can get results if we knew how to get them.
That's good.
Say, speak to me, Lord.
Speak to me, Lord.
Oh, I know that makes you nervous. I know we ain't ready for that. I know, because God is going to mess you up. The Lord of heaven is going to cause you to come out of complacency. Come on, he's going to make you get up. He's make you straighten your back. He's going to make you make decisions about stuff that you've been letting go on for a long time. But if you really, really want to be better, just send a word. I want more opportunities to be obedient. Even when I preach this, I feel my flesh saying, girl, you better watch what you're saying. I feel my flesh struggling, even if I'm saying this. I get, you know, because the first one he coming after is me. You know, he gonna tell me, you preach that, now you ask me to do what you couldn't do. Come on, you've been sleeping on this situation long enough. I'm saying that to folks that are sleeping on situations. situation long enough. Come on, God says, I want to amaze you. I want to overwhelm you, because when you get in the place that I need you, I rejoice. I am amazed. I am glad because you did what I wanted you to do so I could do what I wanted to do. Do you hear that? He wants to be master in your life. He wants to be the healer in your life. He wants you to be better than you ever been. He wants you to be amazed by his goodness. He wants you to take the risk. Come on. Take the risk. That centurion took a risk to go to the elder. He knew he wasn't Jewish. He knew where Jesus was and what he was doing. He said, but I got a need and I'm going to take my chance. Hallelujah. They say they were level-headed Roman military. They didn't feel pressed when they were backed in a corner to react. But they had that second level thinking. You know, most of the time we don't operate in that second level thinking. First thing come to our mind, we react. You know how, at least my mama used to say it, you might want to think that through. She said, because you might not want to see that when it shows up again. In other words, your activity is going to have some consequences, and you might not want to see the consequences. So if you're like the centurion, his reaction would have been to obey Roman law and dispose of his servant. But second level thinking said, perhaps I can get out of my comfort zone. Maybe I'll see if the elders can help me, because I've heard a lot about Jesus. I think that, and I believe that they were second level thinkers, because at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart was rolled away, they said it was a centurion at the cross that says, this is the Son of God. Roman military, but he was a second level thinker. I'm speaking to us who will be a second level thinker. Hallelujah. And get to the source as quickly as you can. See, the Lord of heaven is not a resource. He's the source. And everything else comes from him. So if you can get to the source as quickly as you can, you can get the answer that he's been waiting to give you when you ask the question. He said, I thought you'd never ask. Y'all, I'm having more fun with this than you are. It was like I'm waiting on you to solicit me. I'm waiting on you to ask me in the situation. I'm waiting on you to stand in attention for an opportunity to obey, to say yes to my command, to say yes to what I'm saying. I'm waiting for you to show up and say, Lord, Lord, would you do this for me? I'm waiting on you. I'm speaking to everybody in here who has been fearful of asking God what they really wanted. I'm speaking to everybody in the atmosphere, everybody online, wherever you are. If you have been fearful for asking God, I'm saying in this story, we know that we can and he will.
That's good. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Jesus agreed to come. Then the centurion went to, I'm unworthy. That's the next thing the devil will throw on you. See? He didn't consider that he was a Roman soldier and Jesus didn't have to do anything. And then when Jesus said, okay, I'll do it, then he said, I'm unworthy. I say, wow. We talk ourselves out of what we built ourselves up to ask for. And when he shows up, then we talk ourselves out of it because we're afraid to ask because he might really answer it. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Because then I'm going to have to deal with the miracle that I got that I was afraid to ask because I wasn't worthy for the miracle anyway. I'm going to never feel worthy. So don't let the enemy talk you out of your request that God is waiting on you to ask so you can be obedient, my God, from Zion, and he can work the miracle and get the job done because you ask. He's saying this morning, I thought you'd never ask. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The devil's coming with I'm not worthy.
Jesus.
We're only worthy because of Jesus. Ha. He was worthy because he acknowledged Jesus. He was worthy because he knew who he was, and he had the power and the authority to command. It's not on you, it's on him. Ha, he's worthy, or you're worthy because you sit in obedience and ready to obey. Not about you, not about what you've done, not about where you've been. You know, when he saved us, he dealt with that unworthy. Because we're not worthy of anything that he's done. But when he saved us, when we came into relationship with him, he made us worthy to receive from him. You are worthy. God sees you. You have a voice. God hears you. You belong to him because he chose you. Now he wants to bless you. Hallelujah. Say, I'm worthy. Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. All power, strength, and authority is in Christ, not in you. Not in you. What they call it sometimes is a false humility. And that'll mess you up every time. It's not humility to say that in the presence of God that you ask him for, that he requires you to ask for, and then to say, oh, please don't do it, because I'm not worthy. It ain't on you. It's about what you want, what he wants to do for you. Opposition always have to be bowed down, but see, obedience bows us. If you obey, you become worthy. Come on, somebody. Hollywood, did you tell obedience is better than sacrifices? Now, come on. Then to hearken or to listen than the blood of rams. Isn't that what the word says? Is that what the word? I'm ready. I'm sitting on ready to obey. Ooh, Deborah Mary, you're getting yourself in trouble. I'm sitting on ready to obey. Anybody with me? Sitting on ready. I'm sitting on ready to obey. Now make a command of me, Lord. Make a command. Tell me what I should do so you can do what you want to do. Ah, yeah. All power and authority is in Christ, no matter what the circumstance. Things don't always look like what we want, but as Paul says, if I hear a word from God, whether it's from the written word, the rhema word, a prophetic word, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, I can handle it. I am solid and stable, ready to work with the power that is in me through the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is sitting ready because he knows the will of the Father for your life. The Holy Ghost knows what God wants from you. He knows your path. He knows your next step. He knows what you need to do in this moment about this. Hallelujah. And so he is sitting ready, waiting to guide you into all truth. He's right there to push you over the finish line. He's right there to make sure you do what God is requiring of you to do. You got the power source already working. What's hindering you from getting what you need to get from God? Hallelujah. The centurion knew about power and authority and spoken word because of who he was, and he saw Jesus in that light. So faith comes by hearing. Take that a little deeper. Think a little longer. Take it to the next step. And he said, how can you hear without a preacher? Faith comes by there must be a spoken word. And your faith is built when you hear the word and act on it. That's right. See, faith comes by hearing. You won't have faith unless you hear a word and act on it. That's good. Are we getting that? Okay. Are we getting that simple? That's real simple. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Oh, my. What a word. What a word. I believe that's in the scripture somewhere. Pastor Jamal said, faith without is dead. Faith without works is dead. You don't have opportunity to work until you ask the Lord to give you instruction. Ooh, wow. Come on. Because otherwise, it's dead works. He said, repent from dead works. I don't want to be doing dead works. I don't want to be working just to be working. I want to work in the faith. So I need to ask God to give me instruction so I can work. So my faith is built every time I come into the presence of the Lord. Every time I ask him for something, he'll do it. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I'm amazed. I can't get over that. Jesus said, I'm amazed. I'm amazed who this person who didn't think they were worthy and didn't think they deserved for God to answer their prayer asked anyway. Saying to you this morning, ask anyway. So, hallelujah. Say, ask anyway. My. That centurion maybe read Isaiah. I don't know. where he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Maybe he read Isaiah. I don't know if the Romans allowed them to have the Old Testament script, but it was sure he had some information. Y'all need to celebrate in here. See, we sit up in the house of God in the presence of the Lord in circumstances and situations that are bogging us down, and we act like we don't have any information. We got information. How much more can we say than we've already said? We preach it, we sing it, we dance it. Come on, we just keep on hearing it. It's available to us. It's the information age. You go on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere you can, come on, and you get information about who Jesus is, and then you get timid about asking him in your situation. Hallelujah. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. Speak, Lord. You're waiting for me to ask. I lose all of the ideology of the enemy that I'm not worthy. Hallelujah, you saved me and I'm worthy. You see me and I'm worthy. You know me and I'm worthy. Hallelujah, for you to come into my situation. He embraces the humility, but he answers based on who he is in your life. And your relationship of knowing who he is, he answers. Not that I'm proud and arrogant. Not that I think I'm more than it. He was a Roman soldier, magnificent in the military, great Rome military, conquerors of the world. If he really wanted to be proud, he could have. But he didn't look at his position. He looked at the mightiness of the Lord. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. Don't get stuck, but look at the mightiness of the Lord. And ask the Lord to speak into your situation. Better than that, ask him to give you a command, because I want to be strengthened in my ability to obey. That's second level thinking. Come on. That's taken us to a deeper experience with God. I need to be better at obeying. I need to obey quickly. Ooh, come on, come on. In this season, y'all, we can't be messing around trying to figure out who's going to accept what God is saying to me. We can't afford to be stuck somewhere trying to please everybody or not step on any toes. And this generation has got us tiptoeing around about who we are in Christ, and we know truth, but we got to figure out the best way to say truth. Oh my, and you know, we gotta make sure that everybody leaves feel all right about what I said the truth is. But when we know that God is speaking, we need to respond, because he said, I'm gonna make you you, amaze you. See, God can shut down all of the opposition in a moment, and while they're talking to you, while they're thinking about you, he could shut it down. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. Hallelujah. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you the opportunity to obey. When you obey, he celebrates. And then he's going to walk up on your behalf and do what needs to be done on your behalf and destroy the enemies that's coming against you, because my child is responding to me and obeying my word and getting me in on the situation early on. Let's try to get to God quicker than we have. Come on, as mature men and women of God, and men and women who believe God, who knows him, who's come through teaching and preaching and praising and worshiping, and who have sacrificed a whole lot to get to where they are and pay a price for your relationship with him. Let's get to him first. First. Hallelujah. First. The centurion went to the elders. Jesus said, the elders don't even have the faith you got. I mean, that's what he said. That's what he said. Why are you messing around with the elders? They don't have the faith that you have. Even though they went, they didn't think that Jesus was going to really answer them. He said, but your faith has superseded Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we say enough is enough, when we say enough is enough and really believe it, honey, we taking out all stops. When you say enough, did y'all watch the movie Enough? Go back and watch it. She took out all stops. Yes, she did. She had taken all she was going to take from that man that was beaten out of her, and she said, enough is enough. She became a second level thinker, come on, and came up with a strategic plan that what she knew she was going to win in the end. When you say enough is enough, and you become that second level thinker based on who you know can get the result, don't be afraid to petition him, because he's ready to do for you what you need to be done for you. You know, I need to say that again. That's easy. You need it done. You need it. Say, I need it. He said, I'm sitting on ready. I dare you, I dare you, I dare you. The old folks say, I double dare you. Come on, come on. This is a new day in God. This is a new day in Jesus. This is a new day in the Holy Spirit. It's a new opportunity for us to walk with the Holy Spirit, walk in ways that we've never walked before. Allow Jesus. See, Jesus is in the situation by the Holy Ghost walking beside you, answering you and helping you and directing you and guiding you. Anybody in here got a request right now? Hallelujah. You got a request. Mosha. Got a request right now. Right now. I don't mean you got to come and figure out, do I have a request? If you don't have a request, you're doing pretty good. But I'm talking to the people that know that they know that they know that they need Jesus to speak the word. So when I go back, it's done. They need Jesus himself to say it's healed, it's changed, it's delivered. Come on, he said, because I want to amaze you in this presence of the Lord. See, y'all don't lift up a presence of the Lord like y'all lift up a worship and a praise and a bowing to God like you do in this house, and then walk away and not get what God has for you. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm just going to be honest. The way y'all worship, y'all shouldn't have no problems. But we know that ain't true. We know that ain't true, because the devil going to show up whenever he can, however he can, in all kinds of ways. But we have authority in Jesus. We know that if we ask, he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. Hallelujah. He'll do it. Hallelujah, he'll do it. He said, you can't come to my house because I'm not worthy. See, sometimes we don't want Jesus to come to our house because we got some stuff going on in there that shouldn't be going on, or it ain't as clean as it ought to be. You know, we can't really receive guests. So don't come to my house, because you may not like what you see in my house, but aren't you glad that does not stop him from showing up? Hallelujah. He knows the condition of your house already. He says, so I'll send the word. I'll send the word. I'll send the word. I'll send the word. Hallelujah. And you'll get it just because you asked me. Woo! I've been waiting on you to ask. Speak, Lord.